Hallelujah. I can honestly say I've gotten a lot better through, you know, people can teach you so much. You know, somebody doesn't have to be, and I got something so special for you tonight, man. Something that I've been reading for years and years, and I got the revelation of it today, and it I promise you, it will blow your mind. It will absolutely, positively, if your ear is for God and your heart is for God, you will be absolutely blessed tonight. I shared it with Pastor today. He was drooling in the mouth. But, you know, you can learn from people so much. You can learn from people so much. Just by their actions, you know, you can just learn. You know, I visit Kathy and Julio a lot, and it blew my mind with Julio how kids could go to his house and he could take them home at 11 o'clock at night all the way from Felda. And this, you know, about 6 or 7 months ago, I said, man, that's a pretty cool dude here, man. Kids would be at his house late and he'll take off 11 o'clock at night and take them home. See, I learned from that. Because I got kids in my house all the time and I got to take them home late. You know what? It's an absolute pleasure to me now. Yeah, I get to take Deidre into the building. I get to talk to him and we get to talk. And it's just, I learned from that. I learned from that. And we learn from each other. You know, Deidre teaches me a lot. Mackenzie, McElroy, Jay, all you guys. You know, like Mackenzie said earlier, some of you got weaknesses where I'm strong. In a place where I got weaknesses, you're strong. But we can learn from each other. We can learn from each other. There's two things that I'm learning right now in God. And it's funny how Pastor has said this. It's forgiveness and not taking an offense and not judging. They almost all go hand in hand. Because it's so easy to judge somebody. It's so easy. Even if you feel you're not judging, you're actually judging. But I got some stuff that the Lord has shown me. I'm going to begin. I got a release in my spirit. And I was so happy. I'm going to begin. There's so much that I have to say. Some revelations that are just absolutely, I got to get them out. So there's a liberty in me now, finally. Because I come to the conclusion that it's about Jesus, friends. It's about Jesus. Yes, yes. Our doctrine is tongues and meditation, fasting. Yes. And I come to the conclusion that it's all about Jesus through what we do. Tongues has led me to that place where my doctrine is not tongues. I mean, I'll teach tongues, but all the tongues and the meditation, the way we read it, brings me to glorify Jesus. All of what we've done, the fasting, the confession, the tongues, all that is to glorify Jesus in me, to give me to be transformed into His image. So I'm not going to argue with anybody about tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues. And actually, all the praying in tongues has gotten me to the point where I don't want to argue no more. That's what it does. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm better than you because I pray in tongues, because that's stupidity. My doctrine is Jesus Christ crucified and the love of Christ. And right now, God really has me on forgiveness. I'm not giving an offense. And I'm not taking an offense. And I'm not judging. I promise you, if you listen tonight, I beg you, I know some of you got to go to the bathroom sometimes. I know but with all that's your heart, I beg you tonight, just keep your cell phones off. And if you can keep from going to the bathroom, please don't go. So y'all, guys, y'all go get set up. Go ahead. That'd be you, Alex. Yeah, Alex looks confused already. But I've been going through the Gospels. It's funny how Pastor said 2 weeks ago, it's funny how Pastor said a couple of weeks ago that he'd been going through the Gospels, that reading the words in red. Well, I started about 2 weeks ago. And I had an experience that was so awesome. I'm going to paraphrase because I didn't go back to it, but there was a portion of Scripture, I think it was Luke, where Jesus walked beside the disciples and they didn't know that it was Him. And then when they finally realized that it was Him, they said to them, now I'm paraphrasing, God, when this man spoke, did you not feel our hearts burned by the words that He spoke? I'm paraphrasing. And so then I said, Lord, if they felt your words that You spoke to them so alive in them, why can't I? So I began to read the words of Christ in red. And I tell you, before Almighty God, I felt what they felt. God's word was so, I could just picture Jesus speaking that word to me. And I felt a burning in my heart as I could almost see Jesus face to face speaking these words to me. That began an excitement in me. Every time I read the words in red, they're just so real to me. And I'm telling you, how he can make it alive to me, he can make it alive to you. I'm going to share John chapter 8 today. I promise you, I want you to listen. It'll blow your mind. Well, it did me, rather. It did my wife. And it did Pastor Bronk. We talked about it today. It's about the woman. And it's about the woman caught in adultery. I mean, my friends, it has nothing to do with what you think. It has something to do with. It is amazing at what praying in the Spirit can lead you to. So we're going to put a little skit on, but I want you to really, with all your heart, pay attention. John chapter 8. Verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came. Now listen to me. Stay with me, guys. I beg you. I'm going to read it again. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them.
Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.
Now Moses and the law commanded us, such should be stoned. What do you have to say?
Now this they said, testing him, that they might have a witch to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.
Now Moses and the law commanded us, such should be stoned.
Teacher,
what do you have to say?
Go ahead.
Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery.
Now Moses and the law commanded us, such should be stoned.
But Jesus stood down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear him. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. I'm Jesus right now. And said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her. Wow. Jesus was in the temple. Actually, I beg you to listen to me. I beg you. See, now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Now early in the morning, that's chapter 8, verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. He came again into the temple. If he came again into the temple, then he was where at the temple before? He was at the temple there the day before in John chapter 7. Same subject. The Bible says he was in the temple again. He was in the temple again. All the people came to him and he sat down and taught them. Jesus went into the temple again. The same temple that he went into in John chapter 7. The Bible says he sat down and began to teach the people. Then they brought unto him a woman caught in adultery, and they put her in the midst of him. Put her right in the midst, and they accused her. And obviously she was caught in adultery. Basically, let me break it down to you in Mexican layman's terms. This woman was caught butt naked doing the ugly. And she was caught. They brought her and sat her, stood her right in the midst of Jesus to see if they could find something that they could accuse him of. But when they talked about her and they accused of her being an adulteress, he knelt down. He sat down first to teach the people. They brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And as they brought her, listen to me, and accused her of being an adultery, which she was. She was an adulteress. She got caught in the very act of committing adultery. These men brought her to Jesus in the midst of hundreds of people. A woman, an adulterer, adulteress. And as they accused her, he got down on one knee and began to write with his finger as though he didn't hear them. And they wouldn't shut up, and they kept accusing her of being an adulteress. And he got up. He said, he that is without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. Now listen to me. He had disciples there. They weren't perfect. They had sin. Now the men, the Judaizers, the Jews, the Pharisees that brought this woman to Jesus, they quoted scripture to Jesus. They said this woman was caught in the very act, Jesus. Moses in the law commanded such to be stoned. True statement. In the Old Testament, the days before God, let me tell you one thing. Almost every one of us here would be dead. Because adultery is not cheating on your spouse. Adultery is having sex out of wedlock. That's not what this is about at all. It is and it isn't. Now, we got adultery and fornication mixed up in the church of the definition of it. But these men brought this woman to Jesus. And they quoted scripture. According to the law of Moses, Jesus, this woman caught in adultery deserves death. What do you say about her, Jesus? As they accused her, he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I have always wondered, listen to me, I've always wondered, Kathy, always wondered, Miss Barbara, what the heck was he writing? I often said he might have been writing the names of the men that brought the woman in because I thought they might have had sex with her. So he wrote their names. Okay, Steve. You know you knew where she was at because you've known where her house is at. I thought, and I said in a comical way, okay, he put down the name Renee, Alex, Homer. I don't know if she's in adultery because you knew where she's at. You little perverts. You're judging her. So I said it in a comical way. Bible says they brought her, put her in the midst of Jesus. And he stooped down as they accused her. And he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And they wouldn't stop accusing a woman caught in adultery. Jesus stood up. Listen to me. He stood up. He said, he that is without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. Now everybody that was there, good or bad, had sin in their life. But the men that caught the woman in the very act of adultery, in chapter 7, the same men that brought the woman in adultery to Jesus in chapter 8, listen to this now. First of all, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That woman that was caught in adultery was the reason Jesus Christ came. People like her and like me was the reason that Jesus Christ came. But that's not the moral of the story. See, in chapter 8, these men brought a woman caught in adultery and put her in the midst of Jesus. He said, Moses in the law, Lord, commanded a woman of that stature to be stoned to death. What do you say about her, Jesus? Now, adultery is wrong. We know that. Fornication is wrong. We know that. That's not the moral of the story. Paul says he stooped down on one knee as though he heard them not, and he wrote on the ground. I said, God Almighty, what did you write? What did you write on the ground, Jesus? And he stood up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first be the one that casts a stone at her. Now the vital part of this teaching is the Bible says that he came again. He came again into the temple. So before there was chapter 8, there was chapter 7. In chapter 7, he was in the same temple that they brought to him the woman caught in adultery. Guess who was in the temple in chapter 7 that brought the woman in that committed adultery? The same guys that brought the woman that committed adultery into the temple in chapter 8 were in the temple the day before in chapter 7. Now they, according to the law of Moses, yes, they were correct, but they were hypocrites. They brought the woman caught in adultery, set her in the midst of Jesus. Said Moses said in the law that such should be stoned. And rightly so. She should have been stoned. Only one problem. The guys that brought her and put her in the midst of Jesus that accused her of being an adulteress were also the same men that were in John chapter 7. What do you mean, Pastor Roman? Listen. For time's sake, I'm not going to get deep into this, but I'm going to You have to trust me on this and read it for yourself. Chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Listen to me carefully. For he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Same subject, same temple the day before, chapter 8. He said, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. The same men that brought the woman caught in adultery, they judged her according to the law. She was caught in adultery, Jesus. Moses said that a woman of such caliber deserves death, deserves to be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? And he stooped down and rolled on the ground as though he heard them not. Which among you is capable of throwing a stone at her? If you're without sin, be the first to pick up a stone and knock her across the head with it. Only one problem, gentlemen. Only one problem. You that judge according to the flesh, you judge this woman for committing adultery. Only one problem, gentlemen. The day before, you wanted to kill me. Would you call that hypocrisy? I'm going to openly judge this woman. I caught her in adultery, Jesus. I caught her in adultery. She deserves to be stoned. What do you say about this lady? He got fed up with him. He among you that is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. Well, the Bible says that each one, starting with the oldest to the youngest, left convicted. You know why they left convicted, never picking up a stone to stone her? He said, he that is without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. But Jesus rode on the ground in their midst. They could see what he wrote. Now, people will argue with me what I'm going to say, but I don't care. I ain't care. It don't bother me. The same men that brought the woman in adultery were the same men in chapter 7 that wanted to kill Jesus because he claimed to be the Son of God. The same men that put her in the midst to be judged were the same men that wanted to kill Jesus. The same men that put her in the midst to see her stoned were the same men that wanted to kill Jesus. The same men that wanted to kill Jesus were the same men that put her in the midst that wanted her stoned. That, my friends, is hypocrisy. And this really, what I'm going to teach you, Luke, it's going to blow your mind. Usually, I'm talking about myself somewhat. Usually a vocal person that judges somebody openly is full of hypocrisy. Usually a person that judges, the very fact that they open their mouth, whether it's minute, small, or big, the very fact that they say something immediately lets you know there's hypocrisy or darkness in their life. How do you know? Because the men that wanted to kill Jesus earlier were vocal about her caught in adultery. They weren't qualified. Listen to me. They weren't qualified to stone her. Why? They wanted to kill Jesus earlier. They lived according to the law of Moses. Now listen to this. I've got to read you this. I'm going to read to you now the Ten Commandments. Listen carefully now. They're found in Exodus. Now count them with me. Count them. You shall have no other gods before me. How many is that, Alex? You count it, Alex. You shall have no other gods before me. Say it loud. You shall not make yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. 9. How many is that? 9. How many commandments is there? There's 10. I quoted 9. And they were rightly so. They said, you shall not commit adultery. They quoted a scripture. And they were correct. That a woman or a man is not to commit adultery. They were right. They were oh so right about what they said. Only one problem. But they put her in the midst of Jesus so she would be stoned, not even seeing their very own darkness in chapter 7 that they wanted Jesus killed because he was holy and pure. He did nothing wrong. So they judged this woman with sin in their life. Jesus got up from the ground and he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. It's enough, he says. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Listen to me now. I'm almost done. I'm almost to the point that I want to make. Then those who heard him being convicted by conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, listen to me, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus stood up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And they walked out one by one, one by one. I personally think that they saw what he wrote on the ground. You got proof? I think I do. And so does Pastor Brunk. He said, Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one there. They all left that wanted her stone. They all left one by one. The Bible said they were convicted. He said, he that is without sin, go ahead. Have your way with her. Stone her to death. But they heard his words, and I believe they saw what he wrote on the ground. And they left one by one with no one stoning the woman. Jesus stood up. He said, woman, where are those men that wanted to stone you or condemn you? Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Has no one stoned you? She looks up to Jesus. He says, no one has stoned me, Lord. No one has condemned me. Jesus looks at her with his eyes of compassion, his eyes of love, a heart full of mercy. And says, neither do I condemn you. Isn't it funny how a person with junk and hypocrisy in their life would judge a woman for adultery when the day before wanted to kill Jesus? But they were open about her sin in the midst of many. They weren't qualified to judge, but they what anyway? But they judged anyway. The person qualified to judge didn't judge. Hypocrites judge a man with no sin who could have judged her, who could have picked up a stone and stoned her to death, said to her only, woman, go and sin no more. Now, we can judge situations. We can judge an adulteress, a fornicator, a homosexual, a thief in a private setting if the Lord, if you feel it in the unction to do it. But to do it in an open setting with sin, a person that will talk about somebody in an open setting right there and then, be served. Be known in your heart that that person that openly rips that person has junk in his life. Know right there and then that he's guilty of doing the same thing or maybe more. How do you know? Because he spoke up in the midst of an assembly. But one that doesn't say nothing, a person that can judge a situation, 9 times out of 10, he won't say nothing. Woman, the men that wanted to stone you and condemn you, where are they? Has no one stoned thee? Has no one condemned thee? No one, Lord. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He said, I come not to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. She was a sinner that Jesus died for. What if we treated every sinner with the same respect and love and compassion that Jesus Christ did? We would win this town quickly. So I don't condemn you either. But what was he writing on the floor, Miss Kathy? What did he write, Miss Delia? What did he write on the floor? How many commandments did I quote to you a little while ago? How many? But there's how many? There's 10 commandments, Big Reggie. See, those of us, we all got issues. Like Mackenzie told me earlier, Pastor Homer, some things you're strong in, I'm weak. Some things that I'm strong in, Pastor Homer, you're weak. Amen. So there's grace for all of us to grow. There's room in all our lives to grow. And the law was given to be kept. But I quoted 9 commandments to you when there's 10 to keep. Listen to this now. I'm going to quote them again to you. Verse 7 starts out, Big Reggie, that Jesus didn't want to walk amongst the Jews anymore because they sought to kill him. The same ones that sought to kill Jesus in chapter 7 were the same Jews that put a woman caught in adultery in the midst of Jesus to see her stoned of Jesus. But the same ones that wanted her stoned were the same ones that wanted to kill Jesus. If that's not hypocrisy, Alex, then what is? When they brought her in the midst of Jesus, he couldn't believe their hypocrisy, Julio. He couldn't believe how hypocritical they were. All they could see, they embarrassed a young lady that Jesus Christ came to die for. They humiliated that poor lady. They humiliated her. Hypocrites humiliated her. Jesus stooped down on the ground as though he did not hear what they were saying about her. And he wrote on the ground. Then he rose up and said, he that is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. What did he write on the ground? I think I know. I'll die believing that I know. I quoted 9 commandments to you. But in the law of Moses, there's 10. Now they quoted the commandment correctly, Miss Barbara. She was caught in adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she deserved to be stoned. They forgot one very, very important element in this equation. They were right. They quoted the 7th commandment, and they were correct. The Word of God says, you shall not commit adultery. Rightly so. They quoted the 7th commandment, to Jesus. And they got it right. But as they judged her, he stooped down on the ground as though he heard them not. And he wrote on the ground. He stood up. Said, if you're without sin, cast a stone at her. They all left one by one. Because they knew by the anointing that Jesus walked in, they had sin in their life. What did he write on the ground? I left out a commandment for a reason. Count again, Alex. You shall not have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of God, the Lord your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. How many is that again? They came to Jesus, Reuben. She was caught in the act. Moses said, Jesus, that anyone caught in adultery deserves to be stoned. The very men that wanted to kill him a day earlier were the same ones that quoted, you shall not commit adultery, to Jesus. Do you know, and don't answer this, what commandment I left out? I quoted 9. And they got number 7 right, that says, you shall not commit adultery. But do you know what the commandment right before the 7th commandment is that I left out? Jesus stooped down on the ground as though he heard them not. The 6th commandment is, you shall not murder. They got it right, boys. We're not to commit adultery. In my opinion, Miss Kathy, he stooped down, couldn't believe their hypocrisy. I think he wrote that day, Alex, you shall not commit. Murder. They couldn't even see their own darkness. They were so hypocritical. All they wanted to do was justify their lifestyle in the midst of people. You shall not commit adultery. You got it right, boys. Only one problem. That's the 7th commandment. The 6th one says, you shall not commit murder. You wanted to kill me yesterday, you hypocrite. I think, and I'll die preaching, that what he wrote on the ground was short. It says, you shall not murder. And in the Hebrew or the Greek, the spelling is much quicker. You can write 3 or 4 letters and it'll say that whole commandment. I think that day he knelt on his ground. He knelt on the ground and he wrote on the ground, you shall not murder. They had so much junk in their life, they couldn't even see that they themselves were breaking the commandment of God. So they justify their darkness by accusing somebody else. There's not one commandment that we break that's worse than the other, my friends. But the church doesn't know that because we're ignorant. They reviled a young lady that Jesus came to die for. They wanted her stoned. Because she broke the law of Moses. They also broke the law of Moses. Because they went on to kill Jesus. When a person is so vocal about somebody else's sin out loud, know right there and then that they are guilty of the same or maybe a little bit more. Because a vocal person that rips somebody else is guilty, guilty, guilty. But a person that's qualified to judge a guilty person 99.9% of the time, he will not. That whore is what they were thinking. That whore, Jesus. She's nothing but a whore. I think they saw what he wrote. I think they saw what he wrote, Alex. You shall not. And it was right before you shall not murder is the sixth commandment. And you shall not commit adultery is the seventh. Where are those that accused you, woman? Who stoned you? You know why they didn't stone you, woman? Because they weren't qualified to stone you. I'm qualified to stone you. But I came for you. She must have committed adultery because he said, go. Go and what? Go and sin no more. See, nowadays the church wants to preach. This is the doctrine of the church. Don't smoke dope, which we know not to. Don't commit adultery. Don't be a homosexual. Don't be gay. Don't do this and don't do that. But Jesus said to a woman, go and sin no more. Our preaching should be nonetheless more about this one man named Jesus Christ. Don't no. Preach Jesus. Preach the love of Jesus. And we will win this town. Because if you're vocal about somebody else's sin, if I'm vocal, I just testified that I am guilty of what they're doing or that there's more sin in my life than what they have. Because a person qualified to judge, he will never, ever, not even say the smallest thing about that person. Guilty. Guilty. Just because I think it's small, I don't think it's passing judgment. No, it's passing judgment. They had what they wanted to have correct. You shall not commit adultery. But the thing they were guilty of, they wouldn't talk about it. They forgot the sixth commandment that said, you shall not murder. He among you that is without sin cast a stone at her first. The convicting power that Jesus walked in was enough to have them recognize and acknowledge they wanted him dead. Proof, because they went ahead and fulfilled what they wanted to do. They killed him days later. The moral of the story is this, my friends, and I'm done. And I'm sitting next to Alex right now because I never want you to believe that I live in a place that I'm not in. I got my weaknesses. Ask my kids. Ask my kids. I never want you to believe that I live in a place in God that I don't. That's hypocrisy on my part. That's hypocrisy. When you say the littlest thing about your brother or sister, when I say the littlest thing about my brother and sister, I just testified that I'm guilty of what they're doing. Or maybe a little more. But a person that's not guilty, 99.9% of the time, won't say nothing.
Proof.
Jesus said, go and sin no more. .9% of the preachers today, without knowing, and I've made the mistake myself, as I'm learning just like you are, if we keep what we preach Jesus-centered, we will win over our town. Every church preaches the same. You know you shouldn't fornicate. You know you shouldn't commit adultery. You're going to go to hell if you don't stop. You know that. I know that. But let me introduce to you a man named Jesus Christ that can take away those desires from you, friend, if you want them gone. That's what we should preach. Now we know that all that's wrong. You know that. I know that. But I present to you a man that says to you today, in the sin that you have, in the sin that I have, he says to me and you as a leader and the high priest of the church, that says, go and sin no more. Mackenzie said, right, Pastor Homer, when we do something wrong, we gotta let it go. Yes, sir, you gotta let it go. Right, Pastor Homer, it's Satan that reminds us, yes, it is, son. Jesus knew what he got when he got me and you. He got a pervert when he got me. He got a pervert. This is what he gave me to get rid of that junk in my life. I think it's Proverbs 16 that says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. If he thought I was going to be perfect, then why give me this? He gave me this to purge myself of my filth. And he gave me the greatest teacher to help me interpret the scripture. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And I can walk in the mind of Christ and understand God's Bible, not with my intellect, but with my prayer language of praying in tongues, as I pray in tongues hours and hours a day, to understand God's holy, undefiled word. Most of you know how to use a computer better than I do. I got a 6-year-old son that can use my phone better than I can. But I know how to access the greatest teacher on the face of this earth, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And the more I pray in tongues, the more I understand God's will, his word, and his mind. The reason they were vocal about her sin, because they had the same sin or more in their life. But the only man on planet Earth that was qualified to judge the woman caught in adultery stood up at her and says, woman, where are those that accused you? Where are those that wanted to stone you? Where have they gone? She said, they're not here, Lord. He said, my child, go and sin no more. I really think, listen to what she said, and I'm done. For real. Let me get my glasses. There's going to be a day come where I won't need my glasses. This got me here. This got me here. And I'm done in 5 minutes, I promise. Oh, it's early. The woman was caught in adultery. There's no doubt about that. Because Jesus said, go and sin no more. But listen to what she said. Listen to what she said. Listen to this. She said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, this is the part that leads me to believe that she knew, Miss Barbara, that this man was the Messiah. He said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Jesus said, woman, where are those that wanted to stone you? Where are they at? Has no one stoned you? She said to him, no one, Lord. The woman caught in adultery replies to the Son of the living God. He said, where are the ones that wanted to stone you, woman? Has no one stoned you? She looks up at him shaking. She says, no one, Lord. Pastor, when she was in adultery, she was filthy. She said, no one, Lord. Some of you, some of me, a lot of me, are guilty of the very things that we know we shouldn't do. In fact, everybody in here is guilty of doing things that we know we should not do. But the head of the church, his name is Jesus Christ, wants you to brush yourself off, man, and get on with this thing. Okay, you failed 1,000 times. He'll forgive you 1,000 times. He says to you today, go and sin no more. Now there's a part two to that. And we'll talk about that next week maybe. The song says, I give myself away. When we open our mouth. I got to remember this win tonight. When we open our mouth about somebody. Don't give yourself away. That you're guilty of the same. Maybe a little bit more. Because the person that's guilty is one that'll talk. The person that's not guilty won't talk. If you're in a hurry to correct somebody, you gave yourself away. I'm learning just like you, my friends. They got it right. They said, do not commit adultery. They got it right. They forgot number six that says, do not murder. In my very unbiased opinion, I believe that is what Jesus Christ wrote on the ground. That's what caused them, by the anointing that he walked in, they saw him write what he wrote. That's why he said, he that is without sin, be the first to cast a stone at her. And in chapter 7, if you read it, he quoted the law of Moses about thou shalt not kill. He quoted it in chapter 7. Same subject. I don't have time to go into it all. Read it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Same temple. He was there twice. One day and the next day. Same crowd, same people. Same crowd that broke the law of Moses by wanting to kill him was the same crowd that said, do not commit adultery about somebody else. Moral of the story, friends. The hypocrites. Beat that lady down, man. They beat that lady down. She was probably so embarrassed. Shaking. She probably thought this one man they could have judged was going to pick up a stone and cast it at her. She was probably shaking, Courtney, thinking to herself, that's it, I'm going to die in my sin. But little did she know that the man that stood in her midst was the Son of the Living God, who had no hypocrisy living in him. Or those accusers, lady, has no one stoned thee? No one, Lord. So neither do I stone thee nor condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus loves you, my friend. He loves you oh so much. We've held on to certain sins that we think are worse than others. That is hypocrisy. But since we're not guilty of that sin, we think it's okay to come against it, right? If I don't steal, and you steal, but I'm sinning somewhere else, well, I'm going to let you know without you knowing that you shouldn't be stealing. I'm not going to mention to you that I'm committing adultery. But we have took the sins that we don't do and talked about them openly because we don't do them. The sins that we don't do, we're not going to talk about over, because then you're going to figure me out, man. According to James, if you break one, you're guilty of all, because all the law is fulfilled in one word, and that's love. So if you rip my wife for one, openly, you just testified, my brother, that you're guilty. The same capacity. This is the thing. If you know somebody's got sin in their life and it bothers you, then you got an equivalent sin in your life. Because if it bothers you, you're testifying. You got the same issues. So what do you do with an instance like that? Don't say nothing. Because if you know somebody has an issue in their life and you got an issue in your life, and you don't say nothing about their issue because you know you got an issue, you're telling God, Lord, I know I'm struggling in this area. And if you keep your mouth shut, God's saying, okay, I can give you the grace to work on your weakness. But the moment that we open up our mouths about somebody else, you're telling Jesus Christ that you could care less about what he tells you to or not to do. You become a lawgiver according to the book of James. So yes, I do believe as we go home tonight, I do believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ wrote in the dirt the sixth commandment that says you shall not murder. As they openly quoted the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I believe with all my heart, Alex said, he wrote in the dirt, you shall not commit murder. And they saw it and were convicted because of what they were wanting to do and because of what they did days after that day. They killed Jesus because of perfection and jealousy. We're one big family here, man. Don't be mad at each other, man. Forgive one another. Don't judge each other. Tell me, Renee, say, Pastor Omar, the same rules applies to you. Tell me. Same rules apply to me that apply to you. Just be quiet. If I begin to talk about somebody, tell me, don't forget what you preach Sunday night. And I probably say, yeah, but I don't really, you know, just, but Renee, you know, no. That's a big but, what we talked about. They told me this yesterday. This person was at the casino, shaking their booty. True story. I was going to tell someone who was at the casino shaking their booty. I would have told the person, this person was at the casino shaking their booty, I would have testified of what? I mean, I didn't go to the casino. Don't tell me I was at the casino. I would have testified right there and then that there's something dark working in my life. But I didn't tell that person that that person was shaking their booty in the casino. But if that person buys me a double order with cheese after church, I might tell that person that I seen that person shaking their booty in the casino. You get my point? I never want to give you the impression that I'm this great man of God. I want to give you the impression that I'm a man that prays and reads his Bible and tries to the best of his ability to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Never look at me. Never keep your eyes on me. Because if you keep your eyes on me, when I say something I'm not supposed to say, you're going to be offended at me. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if I ever offend you, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll learn how to forgive me. If you keep your eyes on him. If you keep your eyes on me, if I ever do something to offend you, you won't forgive me because your eyes were set on me. But if you keep your eyes on him, if I ever fail you, you'll forgive me because your eyes were on him. Though I should be a godly example, absolutely. Though I should be a godly example, if you read your Bible and you pray in the Spirit, that'll keep you focused on one man named Jesus Christ. We're to walk according to all that God is inside of us. They said, you shall not commit adultery. But they forgot about the very commandment they were guilty of themselves. They said, you shall not murder. So be careful when you testify about somebody else. Because in all reality, You're testifying and giving yourself away that you got issues in your life. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Did you learn something tonight? Say amen. Hallelujah.